Well, we're still here, so let's talk about it. I checked on Jimmy Carter today because I've been thinking about him a lot since he went on to hospice care. I've wanted to talk about him for a while, but I am one of those people that tends to not jump on to whatever media is talking about, which when you are doing a show and a podcast and a blog or whatever I'm doing in the media, I have become part of the media. So it seems kind of contradictory to say, I don't like the media. I guess what I mean is, I don't want to just glom onto it because it's the topic right now. And I wouldn't say Jimmy Carter necessarily is the topic of the day. There's so many other things going on. But in the realm of talking about death and dying, he absolutely is. A lot of the people I follow, or even a lot of the sites that I follow, have at least one piece about him almost every day, if not at least once a week. I did check to make sure, and as of this recording, he is still alive. What I really want to share when I talk about Jimmy Carter is this, what I consider, brave decision to go on to hospice care before he was dying, before he was actively dying. Unfortunately, many people don't get onto hospice care until every other single possibility of care or treatment has been exhausted. Many who go into hospice care die within the first week of being on hospice. That, unfortunately, has created a description of hospice as being the place where people go to die. I'm here to tell you that that is not the purpose of hospice. It was not the purpose when my mother went on, when my dad went on, when the other family members and people I know went on to hospice care. I have some notes that I wrote down that I want to share with you because I feel like now is the time to finally get the word out there about what hospice is. It's actually been around since the late 70s, but there's still a mystique around it because of this idea that people have kind of put into the mainstream of hospice being a place you go to die. Hospice is end-of-life care. Straightforward. Doctors ask a very important question of themselves, and hospice workers encourage us to ask this very important question about our family members. The question that a doctor has to ask him or herself is, would I be surprised if my patient died in the next 6 months? For non-doctors, we ask ourselves, would I be surprised if my family member died in the next 6 months? If the answer to that question is yes, then it's time to talk about hospice care. Hospice care is intended for that last 6 months or so of somebody's life. However, sometimes people get put on hospice who very likely appear to be in the active process of dying, but once they begin receiving the hospice care, actually can improve because they're receiving comfort care. They're not likely to be in as much pain as they were without the care. And if you've never heard this phrase, here it comes. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. Take a look at chemotherapy. People lose their hair. People lose their ability to eat sometimes. The nausea, just the weakness is so great that they can't even lift a fork to feed themselves. They don't have the strength to eat. As a matter of fact, my mom had one chemo treatment. Once she took that first treatment, she ended up in the hospital for 4 days because it just knocked her for a loop. She decided she didn't want to have it anymore. I really respect that. I didn't at the time. I didn't understand her decision. But once I saw how she was able to live the last couple of months of her life without chemotherapy, I was grateful. And I was convinced that we still have the option of choice. She chose, and I want to choose. And that's why I'm sitting here right now talking to you. Because we should be able to choose. And if we wait so very long because we're afraid that hospice is where we go to die, we could be missing out on some really, really great care. Also in the news has been some stories about the not so great parts of hospice, how this great organization started out as a nonprofit and now has kind of been clouded by for-profit organizations. And usually what that means is that something has to be taken away from the program in order to increase the profit margin. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, and there are some really great for-profit hospices out there. All I'm pointing out is that there is evidence that not all hospices are terrific. Just like not all hospitals are terrific, not every doctor is terrific. I still believe most companies are doing what they believe is in the patient's best interest. And I want to keep believing that. But I cannot ignore the other part, that sometimes profit does take precedent over care. All right, so I needed to say that just because I don't want to come across as all great, everything's wonderful. Let's just all jump on hospice because it's the best thing in the world. I'm not saying that. For some people, maybe it's not the choice that they would want to make or should make. Some people and some cultures have a family system and network in place that actually would do exactly what hospice was designed to do. And if we look back at the history of hospice, I'm sure there was an element of that as it was being developed. A friend of mine is from another country in which the elders are highly respected. The father or patriarch of my friend's family was at the end of his life, and she shared stories of her brother lying in the bed with him, massaging his feet, and just being close for warmth. There were servants in the house who took care of the laundry, of course, and, you know, the other day-to-day activities that allowed the son this opportunity. And let's face it, in our culture here in the United States, we often don't even live near our family or close enough to give daily care. I am kind of envious of my friend and her family's culture. But what's the next best thing for me? Would be hospice care. I would hope that my family, my husband, and our children would be around at the time when it is close to my end of life. But who's going to do the laundry? I don't have servants. I need somebody to support my family, to help with the meals, to give them a chance to shower, to do the dishes so they don't pile up, to actually prepare a meal so that we're not eating junk all the time. To give my family a chance to get away from death and constant care and concern. Just be free. Go for a walk. Get outside. That's what hospice is intended to do. Hospice is a form of what's called palliative care, otherwise known as comfort care. They do have nurses, and they usually have a doctor, at least one, on every staff of hospice, wherever you go. You won't likely meet the doctor, but you will meet the nurses, and you will meet the social workers, and you will meet some aides and volunteers who will come and spend their time with you and your family to give the family a break, to talk and listen when maybe your family just needs a respite from hearing about end of life. It can be really tough, especially if you're not wanting or ready for your family member to die. A volunteer can come in, a nurse can sit with your patient or you, and give your family that needed time away, that breath of fresh air. Sometimes the family just needs a moment to go cry out of sight and out of hearing range because the grief is still there. Hospice can really stand in the gap for everyone involved. You know what else is really cool about hospice? They have care animals sometimes who can come in. And I know when my husband was in the hospital, he loved it. And the highlight of his stay was that they brought a dog in for him to pet and love, and just it really brought him great joy. His surgery was, I don't know, 12 years ago, and he still talks about the dog. You know what else I really respect about Jimmy Carter is the idea that he was a man of God. He definitely loved God, followed God, and apparently still did Bible studies right up until the time he was ready to go into hospice care. Why do I like that so much? As Jared, the police chaplain, shared with us in a previous episode, sometimes people who have faith in God or faith in a God, I guess, is a fair way to say that, approach death differently. They see death differently because they believe oftentimes that there's some place after death. And sometimes the hope of that is enough to understand death is necessary and is a part of life. It's an approach that is talked about often in faith-based communities. I think this is partly where Jimmy Carter came up with a quote recently, well, in 2019, in a church, actually. Somebody was asking him about death and what he thought about it. And his reply was he was at ease with death. At ease with death. He knew what was coming. He doesn't know exactly what's going to happen after he dies, but his belief says that it's going to be pretty nice. For him, being at ease with death, was explained in the article that I had read, allowed him to live today and every day until his death to the fullest that he can, to have those conversations with people. And I can only imagine how many he had before he made the decision to go into hospice care, certainly with his wife, certainly with loving people, perhaps a pastor or a priest or some part of clergy. All of that to make his decision as sound as possible and to give him the peace to die at peace. The last thing I'll say about Jimmy Carter that I found very sweet and loving and kind. Frankly, I didn't follow him. I was young when he was the president, so I didn't know much about him. I remember Peanuts was a big part of it and a lot of the caricatures of his face in the newspapers. I know a little bit about his presidency, but for this piece, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the man who was a man of faith, a man of tremendous love of family, a man of service, a man who traveled the world trying to make peace. This came as a last article recently. This article came out in March of this year. The headline was, Jimmy Carter joined his grandson's Boy Scout troop prior to entering hospice. That caught my eye. What? He did what? Well, so here's the deal. His family farm in Plains, Georgia, where he was raised and now resides, has become a national park. His daughter Amy's son is in a Boy Scout troop. His daughter Amy wanted the Boy Scout troop to come to the national park, i.e. the farm, to experience some of the ideas of civics, is what she was quoted as saying. So the boys came. I think there might have been even a girl there in uniform. They didn't really know who this young Boy Scout troop member was until they were told he was Jimmy Carter's grandson. Well, that made it extra special. But then to get to meet this man and Mrs. Carter at age 98 in a wheelchair, wife on a, they called it a rollator or a walker, walking around the farm, telling them the stories about the history, and just being able to paint some buildings together, to do things that Boy Scouts do. They earned a badge of some kind when they were there. But to have the presence of a man who was the president of the United States, be able to come and just talk and visit with these youngsters, because it was like a last thing that he wanted to do for his grandson, but also for this troop of young folks learning the ways of the Boy Scouts. I admired that. I think if I'm not stricken down and die suddenly, I want to be able to do things like that. I want to make my life enriched and enrich others every moment I get until the day I can no longer do that. Jimmy Carter is setting the example for me, and I appreciate it. The last thing that I'm going to say about hospice today is that many people believe that you are supposed to go on hospice because you're giving up. You're no longer going to fight your disease. That isn't true. Jimmy Carter, whatever illness is causing him to make this decision of hospice, it was not he's giving up, but I want to enjoy my last days. I think if we can flip the script, as they say, to I am not going to fight to the death. I'm going to fight until I've had enough, and I'm going to make a choice to be at home with my loved ones around me, with those social workers and nurses, care animals, artists, and musicians, whatever hospice offers in my town, I want to be able to do that. I don't want to be in so much pain or so weak that I can't hug, hold a hand, or smile, or receive a smile. That will come eventually, certainly, when I'm actively dying, but until that time, I want to be able to outwardly express my love, my compassion, my care to those around me. When I do become to the point where I am no longer verbal, I want to be able to have my loved ones come around and sit by me and hold my hand and talk sweet things to me, even if I can't respond. Doesn't that sound much nicer than let's go to hospice so we can die? I hope this resonates somewhat with you. If you have some comments or maybe a disagreement or a different perspective on hospice, absolutely I want to hear it. I don't want to give a Pollyanna view of anything. I want to be accurate. This is my experience with hospice, but I'd love to hear yours.
Thanks for listening today. You can go to my website for more articles, little news pieces, or a transcript of this podcast. The website is whilewerestillhere.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send me an email too. Thanks again, and until next time, take care.